Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Once upon a time, happiness at work was considered a luxury. Today, both companies and individuals are discovering that it's essential. When people love their jobs, they're more productive, creative, and motivated. They're also happier in life. Similarly, happy companies find they are more efficient, innovative, and they make more money than their unhappy competitors. Alex Carroll is one of the world's leading experts on happiness at work. He's the author of Happy Hour is 9 to 5, How to Love Your Job, Love Your Life, and Kick Butt at Work. Alex, welcome to Edgewise.
Wonderful to be here.
Alex, one thing I've heard you say is that people still don't feel convinced that they can be happy at work. Why is it important to like your job and be happy at work?
Whenever I speak to Americans, I have a hard time convincing them that it's actually important to like your job. I'm Danish, and in Denmark, it's just part of the working culture. Of course we should be happy at work. And do you really want to waste that much of your life on something that does not make you happy? Apart from that, studies also show that if you're happy at work, you will be happy in life. It turns out that if you're happy at work, you'll have better health. Specifically, if you hate your job, you have a much higher risk of getting some diseases like cancer, higher risk of getting heart disease, higher risk of getting stress and depression, and a higher risk of getting type 2 diabetes. Nobody knows why, but there's a statistical correlation between people who hate their jobs and people who get type 2 diabetes. Hating your job can ruin your work life, it can ruin your private life, and it can make you sick. It can even kill you, so why go to a job that you don't like? And finally, the reason that really convinces people, happy people are more successful at work.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, the productivity connection.
Lots of studies confirm this. I have studies showing that people who like their jobs are more productive, they're more creative, they give better customer service. If you're a salesperson, you sell more when you're happy. You are a better team player. If you're a manager, you're a much better manager when you like your job. Have you ever had a manager who did not like his or her job? It's absolutely horrible. And those people create a terrible work environment. So if, as a manager, if you like your own job, if you can make your people like their jobs, they will be that much more effective. It's really that simple.
Okay.
It turns out that happy workplaces make more money for many, many reasons. Again, happy employees are more productive, more creative, sell more. But it also turns out that happy employees have lower absenteeism rates. They're sick less often. It also turns out they stay with the company longer, so you have lower employee turnover rates. A fascinating study from Florida State University showed that unhappy employees tend towards bad behavior, gossiping or rumors or bullying, also cheating or stealing from the company. You get that kind of behavior much more often from unhappy employees. When people are happy at work, they do not tend to do that kind of thing, which of course can cost your company a lot of money. Very, very simply put, the bottom line is that happy companies make more money.
So what does it take to be happy at work? What can managers do to make their people happy? And what can each one of us do ourselves to be happy at work?
That is always the most important question. What is it you can do right here and right now that's going to make a difference? And a lot of companies get it wrong. They get it way wrong. They try all the wrong things. They waste a lot of time and a lot of money on team building events or on perks or on bonuses. And somehow it doesn't seem to work. What I hear from a lot of managers is, we've been trying this, we've been trying that. The employees, the ungrateful bastards, are still unhappy at work. What are we going to do? What is it that'll work? And you know what? It's very, very simple, because there are a few basic psychological needs that you need to address at work. Here's our model that we work from. It takes two things to be happy at work: results and relationships. If you can give people those two things, they're going to be happy at work. Now, I know that there are other models out there that are way more complicated, but this is how we see it.
For instance?
Results is about giving people the opportunity to make a difference, to feel that I do good work. And when we say results, it doesn't have to be bottom line results or meeting the budget or meeting the deadline or meeting the sales budget. It's about making a difference. It's about going home on a Friday afternoon and you look back on your work week and you think to yourself, I did good work. I can be proud of this week.
That is powerful.
That is powerful, and that makes people very, very happy at work. It actually speaks to one of their most fundamental psychological human needs, which is the need to make a difference. We all really need that. If you put human beings in a situation where we're powerless, where we cannot make a difference, where we cannot affect our surroundings. We feel terrible. And that's how a lot of people feel at work. They sit there and they say, no matter how well I do this, it doesn't seem to make a difference. Giving people the sense that I create results, I make a difference, is huge. How can you do that? Well, here's a good example. You can praise people. Whenever you see people do good work, give them praise, and anybody can do that. So results are really important.
Absolutely.
The other thing is relationships. And that's equally important, but a lot of companies tend to forget it. A lot of companies focus way too much on results, the bottom line, the deadlines, the meetings, the budget. Relationships are equally important. And now we're talking about the most fundamental psychological human need, which is the need for the people we're with to like us. Nothing is more important to us than that. And we're going to spend a lot of time with our coworkers. We're going to be spending more time with them than we will be spending with our friends. So we want them to like us. We don't need to be best friends with everyone at work, but good relationships in the workplace really matter. Gallup had a really interesting study showing that if you have just one friend at work, the chance that you're engaged at work is 3 times as high.
I think that's part of their 12 ingredients for an engaged workplace.
Exactly. Good relationships in the workplace are really important, and not every workplace is really good at that. In a lot of workplaces, where people tend to be very stiff, very professional, and you don't really know the people you work with. So this really makes a difference. One of the things I teach the companies we work with, and this is so banal, but it really works. We teach people how to say good morning. Have you ever tried that? You come into work and you meet your coworker, you say, good morning, and nobody says anything. How does that feel?
Oh, yeah.
I work with an insurance company in Copenhagen where they were really stressed. They had way too much work and they could not get any new employees. They needed twice as many employees as they had at the time. It was insane. I worked with them for 6 weeks, and 6 weeks later, this is a very happy workplace. And I asked them afterwards, so what was the most important thing we taught you? And they couldn't believe it. Saying good morning. It's not the only thing you should do, but it sets such a nice mood from the very beginning of the day. If you as a manager, for instance, can go around to each of your employees and give them a warm, friendly good morning, maybe even shake their hand. I know this sounds a little silly, but it works. If it's a Monday morning, you shake their hand, good morning, how's your weekend? How was that party you were going to? Or did your kid get better? I know who was sick last week. Just a little comment for everybody.
The human touch.
The human touch, creating that relationship first thing in the morning, and then it lasts for the rest of the day. It really makes a difference. It won't take much out of your working day. And it's one of the things that really works.
And it doesn't cost a penny.
Costs you nothing.
Right.
And it really, really works. The one thing, though, is that it has to be genuine. If you're just faking that interest in your people, they'll notice and it won't work. But then again, if as a manager you can't even feel a real, genuine interest in your people, what the heck are you doing leading them anyway?
Because if you're a manager, you're in the people business.
That's your number one priority. I was talking to the CEO of IRMA, which is the world's oldest chain of grocery stores, and they're in Denmark. This is a company that in the 90s almost went bust. They were losing millions year after year after year. Finally, they get a new CEO in 1999, and he turns the company around. He did it with happiness at work. His main philosophy, his main tool was everybody needs to be happy at work in this company.
Okay.
The year after, they turned a profit for the first time in 10 years. And every year since then, they've turned record profits simply because people are happy to work there. It's one of the happiest workplaces in Europe, actually. And this is just grocery stores. It's cashiers and it's people who clean up in the store, and they love their jobs.
Can you give us one or two of his secrets? What did he do?
His main management tool is it's all about people. That is really his and upper management's job to focus on the employees, because that way the employees can focus on the customers. So every time they want to be more customer-centric, the management focuses more on their people. And some very, very simple stuff they've done is praising people for good work they do. They've been trying to take pressure off people so they don't get into too much stress. For instance, he's the CEO. They have about 2,000-something employees. He works a 35, 40-hour work week, and he expects the same thing from his people. He doesn't work people to death like everybody else in that industry in Denmark does. So really simple little stuff. It's results and relationships. Showing people that they get good results every time they have a spectacularly good week, they have a party. They celebrate their successes, and they just have good relationships.
Alex, what are some examples of some happy workplaces you're aware of?
Well, here's a good example. Southwest Airlines. They're a very happy workplace, always have been, and that's why they're so successful and why they have such a good business. The other day, I was giving a presentation in Copenhagen to a company, and I put up a slide about Southwest Airlines, start talking about them. Suddenly, the CEO of the company, he gets up, and he tells the story. He's in the US, he's getting on a Southwest flight. He walks down the aisle with his little roller suitcase, picks up the suitcase, he opens the overhead compartment, and up there, in the overhead compartment, there's a flight attendant. Seriously, she's lying up there.
Okay.
And she looks at him and she goes, boo.
Well, that's Southwest Airlines to a T.
They have fun at work and they try to make it a good experience for the passengers. They have the highest customer satisfaction ratings, even though they're a low-cost airline. They have that because they create results and relationships. They have great relationships internally. They also try to create great relationships with the passengers, which is a great idea.
Right.
Another example, in November, I visited Disney World, and Disney World very much know this. It's not that every single employee of Disney World is happy. It's not that every single employee of Southwest Airlines is happy. But on the whole, they want people to be happy because that way they will create a good experience for the customers.
Absolutely. Alex, well, financial companies are in meltdown. In this kind of environment, can employers really keep their people happy? And if you think they can, what can they do? How do they keep that positive mindset when they're in the midst of crisis?
I'll make this very clear. I think they not only can, they must. The funny thing is that when business is good, the economy is booming, every company naturally focuses on employee satisfaction and making people happy at work. They have to because the war on talent. The seminal example of this is the dot-com boom, where suddenly everybody had foosball tables and you can take your dog to work and they have masseuses and everything, right? And you needed to because you wanted to lure the talent away from the competition. In those kinds of times, it's natural. Everybody does it. We have it in Denmark right now. Unemployment in Denmark right now is 1.6%. It's absolutely insane. And you need to treat your employees right or they're gone. Then when the economy changes, some companies use this as an excuse to no longer treat their employees well. And that's a really, really bad idea. Because in bad economic times, when the markets are tough, you need the best from your people. If they're not performing at their peak, you won't do very well, and you need especially good performance from them during tough times. Even if you end up having to lay people off, even if you end up having to cut down on salaries or bonuses or perks, you still need people to perform at their best. If they're engaged in the company, if they're happy at work, if they want the company to succeed, they will do their utmost to make it happen. They will come up with good ideas. They will go that extra mile. They will treat the customer especially well. If you treat your employees like crap, then in economic tough times, they will mentally disengage and they will do just enough to get by. And that will not help your company out of the slump. Now, the thing is, of course, that in tough times, you don't have as much money to spend on your employees. And you know what? That is a great opportunity. Because what every company does normally when they want to make their people happy at work is throw money at the problem. It's perks, it's bonuses, it's lavish parties or whatever. And that's not necessarily the way to go. If you don't have as much money, then you're forced to get creative. That can actually work even better.
For instance?
I was talking to the former HR manager of Accenture in Copenhagen. This is one of the case stories from my book. And in, I think, 2003 it was, they'd had a rough year. They didn't do as well as they should. They still wanted to have their company summer party, which is a huge deal in Denmark. I mean, everybody's looking forward to this summer party. They want to have it, but they don't have as much money. Normally, they have this lavish affair at a luxury hotel somewhere, but suddenly they have no budget for it. They decide to have it anyway. They have it in the company cafeteria, in-house. And here's the thing they do. They convince the partners to work as bartenders for the evening. So they set up this rota and every partner gets an hour behind the bar. They were very skeptical. They did not like that idea. They agreed to do it anyway. And once the evening is underway, they love it. This HR manager cannot get them out from behind the bar. They love being there and the employees can go up and normally it's the partners in their Armani suits. And now you can go up to one of those partners and you can go, give me a gin and tonic and make it snappy. And they absolutely loved it. And it created great relationship.
Yeah.
Suddenly you can get an actual relationship to this guy who's normally a stiff suit. So they did not have the money. They were forced to get creative. And what they did on less money worked way better than what they would normally have done. So it's back to basics. It's the stuff that you and I can do here and now. And what is that? It's results and relationships. It's saying good morning in the morning. It's praising good work. It's making people feel welcome at work. It's making sure that they actually have whatever they need to do a good job. If the company needs to cut back and have layoffs, it's explaining this to people so they can see the necessity of it. Simple, simple stuff like that. And I can promise you this will work much better than what companies normally do, because just increasing perks, increasing bonuses, increasing salaries does not make people happy at work, even though a lot of companies seem to think so.
Alexander's book is Happy Hour is 9 to 5. How can our listeners get a copy, Alex?
They can get it from my blog, positivesharing.com.
Alex, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
As always, we'd love to get your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.